together and just slipped my mind, but Pastor had mentioned what blessings came our way in the year of 2020, and I'm glad he did that, because I just wanted to say this publicly. You know, by the time 2021 rolled around, I almost became weary of hearing people say how bad 2020 was. Folks, it wasn't all the best, but you know what? It wasn't all the worst either. I was pretty blessed in 2020. I had blessings come my way that shouldn't have came my way during a pandemic year like that. You know, so I just wanted to thank the Lord publicly for that, because, you know, we are blessed. No matter what's going on around us, we are blessed. And there's always something to be thankful for. And I just wanted to thank the Lord for that, because God has been mighty good to me. Amen. Things have not always went my way, but you know what? They're not always going to go my way. Amen. So thank the Lord for that. I also wanted to make a comment. We talked about hearing the voice of the Lord, taking time to hear what the Lord would say to the church. And I heard something, Pastor Matt mentioned the prophets and speaking into our lives. I heard someone say something the other day that I wanted to convey to you. And I thought it was really interesting in light of the Lord talking to us about hearing the word of the Lord. Said not only don't be careful what you hear, but they said be careful what you say, what you speak. And I thought that was very vital. And I wanted to bring that to you tonight, because I believe that was a word from God. Church, we need to be careful what we're talking about. We need to be careful what we're speaking. Israel spoke themselves right out of the promised land. I don't want to do that. Amen? Amen. So, just want to put that out there, and we'll move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to dive into this tonight. We're going to talk directly about the gifts of the Spirit tonight. Just to recap, we talked about the love of God, having the foundation of the love of God in our lives as the gift of the Spirit, and hearing what the Lord would say to us, say to the church, because it all works together in being used by God in the gifts of the Spirit. We are a church that believes in the operation of the gifts. We're a church that believes in the operation and the move of the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost didn't move in this church, I'm not coming. If we didn't, and Pastor Matt knows where I'm coming from, and I'm sure he's right there. If we didn't allow the Holy Ghost to move in this church, I'm not coming. Amen. He is life. He is breath. And in him I live and I move and I have my being. And if he's not moving, folks, we're in trouble. But we believe in it. We are reviewing it. We're teaching it. And we practice it. God has done some wonderful things among us. So we're not talking about this tonight to say this is where we need to get to, because it's not happening. It does happen among us. But we wanted to refresh ourselves in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, simply because it's good to refresh ourselves every once in a while, to remind ourselves how these things work, how we need to operate. And before we read the scripture, I want to read it in this light and in this mindset. Now, I want us to think about this as we go. Every time we come together, we ought to be thinking about the move of God. When we have worship service, and you saw it tonight, okay? You saw somebody was thinking about the move of God. What I thought was neat about it is I was in the process of thinking about going and praying for our brother Dave and having the men to come pray for them. And as I was thinking about it, Pastor Matt was walking over to do it. I thought that was neat. Sometimes when God wants things done, he wants them done now. Okay? And I'm talking within a matter of 30 seconds. He wants them done now. So thank God Pastor Matt heard the voice of God. And while he's doing that, I'm calling the brethren, let's pray for this man, because we want to encourage Dave and the Lord. Okay? And I don't think that embarrasses him. Not at all. Or I wouldn't do that. I know my brother and he's a good man. But we want to be open. So when we are in worship service, I understand we all come with needs and we all come sometimes. Sometimes we come when we'd rather be someplace else because our flesh is tired. Maybe we're not feeling good. Maybe we had a bad day. But we obey the word of the Lord to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We come into the place of worship. We gather together with the body of Christ, and we lift up holy hands, and we sit in holy places with Jesus Christ. I get that. But folks, our concern also when we're gathered together is, God, how are you going to move tonight? Because God gathers every time with an agenda. The Lord doesn't come to church wondering what he's going to do tonight. He knows what he wants to do in our lives. He knows who he wants to bless, how he wants to minister, and he wants us to be a part of that. Every one of us can be used in a gift of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit. So we need to be sensitive to that. And even when we worship, You know, I understand sometimes we get lost in worship. And I'm not saying I ought to be necessarily scanning the audience all the time, trying to figure out what God's, but I need to be in tune with the Spirit of God, because God can talk to me about somebody, or God can prompt me to pray for somebody. I prayed for somebody tonight that I felt the Lord was going to touch. It just wouldn't leave me. I thought, well, I need to do this. So pray for somebody. How does that happen? Because I'm listening for the voice of God. I'm not just so lost in my worship that I'm only thinking about myself. Does that make sense? So when it comes time for God to move, I can bring myself into subjection and I can be a part of the move of God. Because sometimes I can be so lost in myself that I'm missing what God's doing over here. And we don't want to do that. We all want to participate and cooperate with the Spirit, because we are co-laborers together with Him. So the word of the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, concerning spiritual gifts, reading from the New King James, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Okay? So uneducated, unaware. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. So God is working in all of these gifts. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So the Lord uses you in the gift of the Spirit, or uses me in the gift of the Spirit. It's not to benefit me only. Okay? It's to benefit everyone in the body of Christ. All right? To benefit. So that's what we're after. We're after gathering together, we worship the Lord, we lift Him up, but we want to be sensitive to the move of God. God, how would you move tonight? How would you use me tonight? As to the benefit of the body of Christ. Because think about it. The Scripture does say if one member suffers, what? The whole body suffers with it. If one member is blessed, everyone is blessed together. So you win, we all win. I win, we all win. So that's the approach we want to take in talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and it is a scriptural approach. So verse 8 says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Excuse me. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So, let's leave that up for just a moment. As He wills. Everybody say, He wills. Okay? God decides who and how many gets what. You ever, don't raise your hands, but maybe growing up, hopefully not now if you're, you know, above the age of 12, but growing up, you ever around Christmas time, you ever kind of scan the family or the get together or whatever and count all the gifts and say, wow, there's 10 gifts and there's only two of us. I wonder if we each get 5, or Susie gets 4 and I get 6, or Susie gets 1 and I get 9, or wait a minute, Mom moved 7 over there and I only get 3. But what Mom didn't tell you is one of them's maybe that brand new video game you wanted that cost 3 times the amount of 3 of her gifts. You ever do that? Mom and Dad decide who gets what, right? The Lord decides who gets what gift. So that's where I do think humility needs to come into play, and that's where walking in love needs to come into play, okay? And I can't picture anybody in here looking at someone and saying, oh, my word. You know, why, God, are you using them like that and you're not using me like that? However, we are human and we're in the flesh. So what I'm trying to say is we need to seek God, because the Bible does say desire spiritual gifts. It's not a bad thing to desire spiritual gifts and be used by God. Okay? It is not proud to do that. Okay? Now, if we use them wrongfully for our selfish benefit and ambition, that is wrong. But again, I can't imagine anybody in here wanting to be used by God in the gift of the Spirit for your own recognition and self-gratification. But he decides who gets them. So it is entirely possible for you to have one gift of the Spirit or nine gifts of the Spirit that we're going to be talking about in this particular passage of Scripture, or two or three. Now, if you're not used in any way or never have been used in any way in the gifts of the Spirit, this is for you, because the Bible does say desire spiritual gifts. Okay? Nothing wrong with that. So maybe it might pique your interest. God, how would you use me in the gifts of the Spirit? Lord, what would you use me in your body? How would you use me through the gifts of the Spirit in your body? What would you allow me to do, God? Because you might have a gift within you, okay, that you have no clue that's there because you have not opened yourself up to the possibility of God using you yet. Does that make sense? I kind of chuckle because I remember Brother Bryant is evangelist, and he is used in the gift of prophecy and so forth, and word knowledge. And I remember one time, it was a few years ago now, we were in service in Ripon, and he was ministering the word of the Lord, and I was just standing off to the right, I'm minding my own business. After, matter of fact, I think it was everything was all wrapped up, and I'm laughing because I remember my son Ryan was playing the guitar, and he came up afterwards and said, "What did he say to you?" I said, "Why?" Was there an expression on my face? He said, "Yeah." I'm like, he came up and he said, "May I pray for you?" I said, "Well, sure, you know, yeah, pray for me. I appreciate when people pray for me. Sister Jerry told me the other day, I pray for you today." I'm like, "Yeah, right on. I need it." He said, "May I pray for you?" I said, "Sure." And he said, he began to speak some things over me and tell me what the Lord was, what was in me and what the Lord was going to do. And I'm just like, "You've got to be kidding me, God. Me?" You know, and I think about that even today, what he spoke over my life and what the Lord was going to do and how he was going to do it. And some of it has come to pass, begin to come to pass, but I believe that yet it's growing into a maturity. But I looked at that and I thought, really? Why? God, why? Well, I don't need a why. God chose me. You know, I'm not qualified, and maybe that's why God chose me, you know. So he chooses who he will, and he gives the gifts to whomever he will. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. I wanted to read this verse because, again, another premise, another part of the foundation of being used in the gifts of the Spirit. He told the church, he said, "Even so ye," speaking to the church at Corinth, "for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts." Now, I will say this. I do believe some of us in here are zealous of spiritual gifts, and I'm not quite sure about some of us. And I'm not saying that to be mean, but I'm not talking to you about it personally. I don't know the your spiritual temperature. You know, are you on fire about this? Are you lukewarm about it? Or are you like, "Well, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't." What I'm trying to say is the Bible encourages us to be used in the gifts. Right here he said, "Seek that you may excel to edifying the church." So you're zealous of spiritual gifts, but seek that you may excel to the edifying the church. Well, what does that mean? Excel, to be, to abound, okay? To kind of exceed in edifying, building up the church. So everything we do, everything we operate in, we need to exceed in building up the church. So, gifts of the Spirit. Some of the material that we're going to use tonight, I just want to make this known publicly. We adapted from the article, "The Gifts of the Spirit" by Freddie Trammell, and which is from her book, Spirit Works, and can be found on the IBC Apostolic Information website. And if you would like the link to the article that I adapted some of this material from, we're not going to read it verbatim. We will quote some of it, but I'm not going to go down and use her material verbatim. But if you would like that article, it is pretty succinct and pretty concise on a study of the gifts of the Spirit. So if you'd like that, hit me up after service, and if I don't have your number, give me your number, and I will text you the link to that, and that way you can have it for your own, I would say library, but I don't know how many of us have libraries anymore. Archive. Let's say archive. How's that? So we're going to break this down, though. The gifts of the Spirit, which are given to operate in the body of Christ, the church, basically fall into three divisions, okay? We're going to talk about them tonight. And if we don't make it all the way through, which nine, you know, it's going to be a stretch, we will be able to wrap this up, Lord willing, next week. But the gifts of the Spirit, number one, category number one, gifts of revelation. Those gifts that have to do with our intellect, our spirit, our mind, which are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits, okay? The gifts of revelation, the gifts of inspiration, the vocal gifts, prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. The power gifts, the working gifts, the gifts of faith, the gifts of healing, and the working of miracles. So as we said, gifts of the Spirit are available, and they are given to every believer who has received the initial infilling of the Holy Ghost and obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are gifts of the Spirit to the believer who is indwelled by the Spirit of God. So we want to distinguish that tonight because of the fact that there are teachings out there in Christianity that essentially tell us once we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and received Him as our personal Savior, that we automatically receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and we're endowed with the gifts of the Spirit. That's not scriptural, okay? So if you take a study of the Word of God and you go into the book of Acts that records the Acts of the Apostles, okay, who were the disciples of Jesus Christ and walked with Him about 3.5 years, and a disciple we know is one who follows in the dust of their teacher, literally, the rabbi. They literally follow so closely, the intent is that they follow in the dust of the rabbi. So he's walking down the road and he's kicking up dust and they're that close that they can walk in his dust. They, if he ate with his left hand, they ate with their left hand. You know, if I don't know if he slept with his headdress on, which I don't know if they did or not, but I'm just saying, you know, they slept with their headdress on. You get what I'm saying? Because they wanted to know God as closely as their teacher knew God and in like manner. So these were men that just, they weren't Johnny come lately. So they were with Jesus the whole time. They saw the miracles. They heard the teaching. And they were with Him after the resurrection. He spoke of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He opened their understanding of the scriptures. So they had revelation, all right? They preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Peter, on the day of Pentecost, we know he preached the message of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection. And the response to it was when the men said, "Men and brethren, what must we do? What shall we do? We need to do something about this." Peter said what? He said, "You need to repent. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, the taking away, the washing away, the forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for it is a promise. And it's not just to you, but it's to you and your children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." So fast forward to Samaria. Thank God that the Samaritans received the word of God, and they're having great revival. There were healings, there were signs, there were wonders, there were miracles. There was even great joy. They had been baptized, and this is the scripture recording this, okay? So again, I want to reiterate. I said this many times. Pastor mentioned it just a service or two ago. We've had conversations about this. I've always told my children, beware of people who try to convince you why the Bible doesn't mean what it says. I want to say this kindly, but I don't care what the church manual says. I don't care what this person says or that lady says. And I don't care what the council came up with outside of the Word of God. If it does not coincide with the teachings of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, I'm throwing it out. Because I can point to even Christianity, okay, with the doctrine of the Trinity, okay, and the Apostles' Creed that was created. Just that alone, some of the things that Christianity, modern-day Christianity, has given us are ungodly. And they're called okay by the church because it's Christian. No, it's not biblical. And not just that, but several other major religions of the world. We're talking about some sci-fi stuff here, folks. You get to talking to some of these people who come knocking on your door, and I talk to them every time they come. Matter of fact, I've got four of their names in this Bible. I believe it's this Bible. In this Bible that I keep in there as a perpetual prayer to the Lord that God would touch their souls because I reach for them. As matter of fact, right there they are. I reach for them as hard as I can. And Elder Christensen in Worthington, Moffitt and Hollingsworth, four young men I lift up continually to the Lord as a testimony. I stuck them in here as a prayer to God. God touched these young men. Because I'm telling you, talking to them is like watching a science fiction movie. Why? Because somebody got a revelation outside this Bible. And it always leads to stuff that makes you scratch your head and think, man, are you kidding? So the point being is, Acts chapter 8, they had been baptized, and the Bible says, it points out, they were baptized, only baptized in the name of the Lord. That's they had joy, they had repented, they'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord. What did they do? They sent for Peter and John to come down, that they might pray for them, that they might be filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because repentance is a complete package. Because fast forward to Acts chapter 10, and Cornelius, he had it all. He had the works. He gave alms. He prayed. You know, it makes me wonder, God, I mean, I talk to God. I'm not going to stand here and say that I don't talk to God, but it makes me wonder, do I have a memorial before God? Does God look at my prayers like he did Cornelius and say, man, that's just like a memorial before me? I'd hope so. That would be really nice. He hadn't said one way or the other. But the point is Cornelius did all this great stuff. By modern standards, his life modeled a Christian. He gave. He was righteous in his works. Okay? Not in the blood of Jesus Christ, but in his works. He was righteous. And he gave and he prayed always, and there was one problem. He was lost. He was not born again. That's why Paul said in Ephesians, this doesn't come by works of righteousness which we've done, but it comes by faith. And the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So Peter comes and he preaches and the whole house is assembled. And while Peter was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. How did it fall? Because they heard the death, burial, resurrection. They believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like John said in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, pastor pointed out last service, as the scripture said, okay, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So that happened to Cornelius. How did Peter and the rest of the apostles that came with them, how did they know that they received the Holy Ghost? Because the Bible specifically says, see, if God wants you to know something, he's going to put it in the book. And if it's there, believe it. If it's there, do your best to obey it. Okay? And if you're having trouble, get help. Do whatever you got to do. But anyway, so they heard them speak with tongues, magnify God. They said they received the Holy Ghost just like we did at first. At what? The day of Pentecost. Okay? So, folks, there is a distinction. So we have to understand that, and we have to know that. And I know that you know that, but we're going to talk to people out there that just believe, hey, I believe in God. I'm okay. Well, if we want to be biblical about it, no, we're not okay. All right? I believed in God before I was born again. I believed in God. I don't know how many times I went to the altar and accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And man, I was lost as lost could be until the truth started shining in my life. The Word of God, what Jesus taught his disciples who became his apostles, what they preached and what they taught. And there came a day I quit going and accepting him as my personal Savior. As pastors talked about many times, came a day I went to the altar and allowed him to accept me as his personal sinner. And that night I received the gift of the Holy Ghost and was baptized in Jesus' name and thanked God for it. But the gifts are available. So every believer, as we said, may receive one or more. Or some may operate in all nine. Okay? But the point is seeking God. God, how would you use me? God wants to use you. Okay? I want to do a survey. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody at all. Okay? I wouldn't do that for the world. So I'm not going to go down through and all nine of these gifts. I'm not going to say who's ever been used in tongues, interpretation, blah, blah, blah. But who anybody want to be brave and say, yeah, God has used me before in a gift of the Spirit? Anybody? Okay. Yeah. How many people would like God to use you in the gift of the Spirit? Yeah. All right. We have some available vessels. I'm telling you, it is a beautiful thing. And that's what is so great about the body of Christ. We on our own, we are weak. We are frail. And like Paul said of himself, he said, I am the chiefest of sinners. Okay? Paul was talking about himself. So if the Apostle Paul would say that about himself, I better have a pretty honest estimation about myself, right? He had a great walk with God and a great missionary life. But he said, you know, I'm a sinner on my own. There is nothing in this flesh that is good. And that's the beautiful thing about the body of Christ, is God has connected us together. And the design of these is not for, you know, not for me or anybody else to look good when God uses us. Because as we said before, God has spoken through a donkey before. All right? So I shouldn't flatter myself and think just because God uses me that I'm special. We're special, all right. We're special sinners, but God loved us and died for us. So, let's talk about tonight. The word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. We're not necessarily going to go in order as they're written in Scripture, and there's no reason that we're not. Okay? We're just lumping them together. The gifts of the Spirit, we're talking about the gifts of revelation. The word of knowledge. Okay? It's a supernatural revelation of the divine knowledge or insight into the mind, will, or plan of God, and also the plans of others that man could not know of himself. So how would this help the body of Christ? And I think that's a good question we need to ask, and well, let's ask that each gift. How will this help the body of Christ? Because the Bible says that the gifts are what? Given to build up the body of Christ. So how will this help the body of Christ? So a person in whom the spiritual gift is, the word of knowledge, will receive an unction from the Holy Spirit to use the gift at different times. It doesn't necessarily operate continuously, all right? All these gifts aren't necessarily going to operate at the same time when we gather together. Because Paul did say to the church of Corinth, he said, things need to be done decently and in order. So could you imagine if we came to church and Pastor Matt is prophesying in the biblical sense as he's preaching the word of God and he's foretelling the word of God, and I get up with the word of knowledge and Mark gets up with the word of wisdom and somebody else gets up with a tongue and interpretation in tongues and it's all going on at the same time, what's that going to be? At the same time. It's going to be chaos. And Paul said no. And that's why he laid out different principles and how to be used in these gifts in the word of God. We're going to talk about that. So the word of knowledge, how will that benefit the body of Christ? Well, let's look at Acts chapter 5. And verse 1, and we're going to see what I believe according to Scripture. And I went through and looked in the Word of God and said, where can I find these in the Word of God? Word of knowledge, again, it's a supernatural revelation of divine knowledge, insight into the divine mind, will, or plan of God, and also the plans of others that man could not know of himself. And we're going to pick on poor old Ananias and Sapphira. They really made history that day, didn't they? They had been picked on since the book of Acts came together. We're going to pick on them again. The Bible says that a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. Now, here's the context of what was going on. The early church had extra stuff. Everybody say they had extra stuff. They might have had a 401k, piece of land, whatever. No 401ks, I'm just kidding. But you get my point. And there was need in the church, and they wanted to take care of their own, which is a good thing for the church to do. We need to take care of our own. And we do that here, and I appreciate that. But they had extra stuff. They were selling it. They were bringing it to the apostles' feet. They were distributing it to people as they had need. Well, Ananias and Sapphira had extra stuff. So they went, and they sold their possession. But the Bible says they kept back part of the price, verse 2, and his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, what the problem was is they weren't honest about what they did. They were acting in hypocrisy. And they were pretending to be something they weren't. And there's a problem with that. God didn't want it in the church. The church was young. The church was early. It wasn't that old. And the Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So here they are acting in hypocrisy before the Lord. And the Bible says, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Fact is, the problem wasn't that he wanted to keep back part of his money. That's not what the scripture's saying. The problem was he lied about it. He was being deceptive. We've heard that defined over the last couple of years, not just here, but even camp meeting, spirit of witchcraft, right? Making someone believe something that is not for your benefit. Bible also, I believe it's Revelation, says he that loves and maketh a lie. So lying is just not speaking, but lying is also acting. So here they were. They were acting. They were being hypocritical. They were infecting the church with this. He said, verse 4 says, whilst it would remain, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own, in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Now there's a problem. That's the problem. And you have not lied unto men, but unto God. So verse 5 says, Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. He died. Okay? So, verse 6, young man arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. Bible says about 3 hours, his wife comes in, not knowing what happened. Verse 8, he said to her, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? And she said, yeah, so much. She was in on it. Okay? Ladies, here's a pro tip. If your husbands ever get deceitful and hypocritical, don't follow along with them. And vice versa. Say, no way. But she went along with it. And verse 9, Peter said, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Said, the feet of them that buried your husband are at the door. They're going to bury you. She fell down dead. And they took her out and buried her. Word of knowledge. Peter had a supernatural revelation from the Spirit of what was going on. Wow, that was kind of harsh, wasn't it? Well, let's look at this. Why would God allow someone to die like that? Why would they die? Why would God kill them, in essence? Well, God's not out to kill people, all right? And if you think about it, how many of us, if God was going to kill us for everything we did wrong or every time we messed up, how many of us would be here tonight? Now, I know I wouldn't be preaching to you. I know that. He's not like that. If you look at it, if you need some comfort in your mind of why in the world, because this really does seem harsh, and it does, doesn't it? I mean, let's be honest. It seems harsh from a human standpoint. Couldn't they just repented? Well, here's the thing. Look in the scripture at people, and really there's not that many of them in human history that he records in the scripture who were killed by God. Look at the context in which they were. They were people who invariably would not have repented. Okay? And here's the thing. God knows whether we're going to repent or not. God gives grace, and he gives grace, and he gives a lot of grace. And God knows when we're going to turn, and God knows if we're going to turn. But if you look in Scripture, there were people that they absolutely made up their mind, they're not turning. And God said, if you're not turning, I'm moving on. And that's what happened here. And we could say, well, Brother Pritt, you're talking about the gifts of the Spirit are to benefit and build up the body. God just knocked two people off. Well, look what happened, though. The Bible said that great fear came upon all of the church. And upon many has heard those things. In verse 12, it says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. So great fear of the Lord came upon the church. And the apostles are going wild with signs and wonders and miracles. Revival broke out. Church, God said, we're going to deal with this now, okay? And sometimes our woes as the assembly of the Lord comes with the fact we don't deal with things now. So the Lord used the word of knowledge, and he dealt with it. It was a supernatural revelation that only God could have given. Word of wisdom. We'll look at the word of wisdom tonight. A supernatural revelation or insight into divine will and purpose, showing how to solve any problem that may arise. Now, I think this is really interesting. Because, you know, the gifts of the Spirit are given by the Spirit. They're the operation of the Spirit. They're for the benefit of the church, but they're so practical. I'm not saying that to dumb them down. They are so practical because if you think about it, you know, a person whom God uses with the word of wisdom, it may calm a troubled soul about their past or the present or even their future. A word of wisdom operates by wise counsel. So let's think about that in light of Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible says that there came a time that the widows were neglected in their daily ministration. So the widows were not being taken care of. Now, if you understand according to the word of God, you know, well, what's the big deal about that? Widows who are widows indeed, the Bible talks about. In other words, widows that have no one to take care of them. Okay, the spouse died, husband died. They may not have a son or a daughter to help take care of them. May not have near kin to take care of them. They're widows indeed. They need help. Okay, Scripture says that widows who are not widows indeed, they have a son, they have a daughter, they have family to take care of them. But Paul said, church, that's your job. You need to take care of your own. Take care of your loved ones. But it said widows indeed. So widows are very near and dear to the heart of God. And it's important to God. And I think this is neat. Because the gifts of the Spirit are more than just, you know, like, yeah, hanging from the chandeliers and, you know, everything's going on and rocking and rolling and prophecy and tongues interpretation. You understand what I mean? It's nuts and bolts stuff. Rubber meets the road stuff. God cares about every aspect of my life stuff. So here they are, they're being neglected, and the Bible says in those days they were the number of disciples were multiplied, Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out from among you 7 men, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the word of the Lord, or ministry of the word of the Lord. So Bible says the names whom they pulled out, among them was Stephen, and we know he became a great preacher and incidentally the first martyr of the church. But the Bible says that in verse 6, they set before them before the apostles, and they laid their hands on them, prayed, laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests, I went on down to 7, I'm sorry, were obedient to the faith. So, word of wisdom. God, we've got a problem. We know widows are important. We know they need to be taken care of. They're neglected. Not only do we have a problem, but we got a complaint. We got a complaint between the Grecians and the Hebrews. It was causing problems in the church. The only way to get rid of problems in the church is to deal with problems in the church, right? You got to deal with them. So the apostle said, we're not going to stop preaching the word of God. That's what we're called to do. So we're going to pray and we're going to fast and we're going to read and we're going to preach the word of God. We need some help here. The Lord gave wisdom, and I believe this is an example of a word of wisdom. So we're going to gather men together, and we're going to appoint them over this business, and God is going to take care of what needs to be taken care of. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And again, I think that is just so neat, because God cares about every aspect of your life, church, and God will work through his body. So, number 3, discerning of spirits. Got a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. And I think this is, boy, they're all important. But if I could say, man, this is a vital one, I think this is a vital one. We are living in the day in which Jesus said that false prophets will arise, false teachers will arise. They'll say he's here, he's there. Don't believe him. Go not out to the desert where they say he is. And not just false prophets and false teachers, but a huge problem in our culture, in our society, is right is wrong, and wrong is right. Now, I believe this is a word from God to us right now. Jesus said, be careful that you are not deceived. Church, I really believe the Lord wants us to take that and receive that. Be careful. Take heed that you are not deceived. Because the problem with deception is when you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived. Okay? And the problem with deception, and particularly how as it relates to modern day Christianity, it feels so good. It feels right. All right? And we need to be careful. We need to be discerning. I think if we pray for any gift in our life, I would be praying for God, help me to have the discerning of spirits. It is a supernatural revelation or insight into the realm of spirits. The gift of discerning of spirits is able to detect a troubling and unholy spirit attaching itself to a person's life. That's important. Acts chapter 13, verse 6. Discerning of spirits. The reason why this is so important, because, you know, the apostle said, don't marvel, because even Satan himself can manifest himself as an angel of light. You know, we talked about some of the religions out in the world. One particular prominent religion I'm thinking of right now, that's how they got their doctrine, that is over and above what the Word of God says, is because an angel came to the founding of their religion and said, this is the gospel. And the man believed it. And he wrote it down. And he added it to the Word of God. And those people will stand there and discuss. I don't want to say argue, because I don't argue with them. But discuss with you for hours that they and affirm, yes, we believe what the apostles preached. We believe it. We believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We believe in baptism in Jesus' name. We believe the apostles' message. But at the same time, deceived into these ungodly, extra-biblical doctrines. Folks, we have got to understand, and I do think that this is important in our day and age. Chapter 13 and verse 6. It says, and when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who was called Barnabas and Saul, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Folks, this is where the discerning of spirits comes into play. Brother Lucas taught us something that I've never forgotten. He said, church, he said, there is a church within the church. God's going to have a church, but he said within God's church, within the church, there is a church. What did he mean by that? You ever heard the old saying, all that glitters isn't gold? Everybody shows up to play is not on the team. Okay? So there are people. The apostle called them enemies of the cross. If we do anything to oppose the move of God, or the prospering of the body of Christ, I'm talking about opposing. I'm not talking about trying to help. I'm not talking about trying to correct. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about opposing the body, opposing the move of the Spirit of God in opposition. Folks, we become an enemy of the cross. And that's what Elymas was. He was an enemy of the cross. He withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. This will help us in working with people. Okay? You're working with somebody. They're interested in the Word of God. They've got somebody in their life who is causing all kinds of trouble, causing all kinds of pain, causing all kinds of agony in your effort to tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's time you take that Bible study to Starbucks, if you can go there and sit down anymore. Take it to the public park. Take it wherever you can away from that person until they show some genuine repentance. Because all the glitter's in gold and everybody shows up's not on the team. All right? Matter of fact, I'll give you a prime example. We're going to get further in the Word of God here. I'm running out of time. But prime example. I was a young man, and there was this this lady that won the Bible study, and she was older, and you know, and I this was before we were married, and I don't even know how I had the Bible study set up. I think I was gullible enough to where, because this older guy, and he was a married guy, he wasn't in the church, but all of a sudden he became real interested in our church, right? Because he knew that this girl that worked at the place where we worked was coming to our church, and she was going to get a Bible study. Well, lo and behold, the one who would curse anything that had to do with our church, he was all of a sudden interested, Pastor Matt, in having a Bible study. Yeah. Well, I didn't think anything at the time. Like I said, I was young and not full of too much wisdom. But there was a lady in our church. She was older, and she was full of wisdom. And she said, Harry, no way that's going to happen. I said, what do you mean? The only reason why he wants to go to that Bible study is this, this, and this. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, now I see the light. So you see, the Lord saved all of us from a very harried situation that could just kind of blown up into pieces, you know? So I believe the Lord used that person in discerning of spirits, okay? I was ignorant. I really was. I'll admit it. I didn't know what the world was going on. But she looked at this person, and she said, selfish motives, wrong motives, opposing what's good, no way. It's not going to happen. This is where we need to be humble, church, okay? Because say something like that's going on in your life. You want to go down this road, and an elder comes and says, you know, that's not going to happen. Why? Because thus and so. Can you back up and you say, okay, thank you for your wisdom. I want to share some earthly wisdom with you. I know I've said it before, but I want to say it again. My dad told me all the time, what did he say, Ryan? He said, son, I've been where you are, but you've never been where I am. Okay? There's a reason why us getting older, I'm going to say getting older people, there's no old people in here, but we're getting older. Getting older people have gained some wisdom. It's not because we've known everything that we should know along the way. It's because we've messed up and we've made a lot of mistakes along the way. And we've learned what we didn't know by our mistakes. So I just want to interject this. When someone older comes and God used them in the gift of the Spirit, you know, we're not always going to recognize and say, oh, brother so-and-so is operating in the gifts. You know, sometimes it might rub us the wrong way. Might chafe us a little bit, might be iron sharpening iron, and we might have to step back and just say, okay, I got to process this a minute. There's a reason why they're doing that. They're not out to hurt me. They're not out to hurt me. But again, now, when we're operating in the gifts, we need to keep that in mind, okay? Because we're dealing with the sheep. We're dealing with the lambs of God, okay? He is a good shepherd. We need to make sure we're all doing our part when we're operating in the gifts, to operate in that same spirit. But at the same time, you know, we need to understand that sometimes, like Ananias and Sapphira, not to that degree, but helping the church is not going to look like helping the church. But in reality, it is. So anyway, back to the situation in the Word of God. Verse 9 says, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Set his eyes on him, man. Just laser focus. And he said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? There's that word pervert again. Remember, Brother Hurt? Perversion. Not in a sensual connotation, but distorting what is right, distorting what is true. He said, you're not stopping. You need to stop this now. You know, sometimes we need to stop now. Okay? Verse 11, it says, now behold. Now, so Paul helped God helped Paul discern that spirit, okay? And there were some consequences. He said, now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went out seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then I'm going to go on down to verse 12. I don't know where I said. Yeah, let's go on down to verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine. Everybody say the doctrine. The doctrine of the Lord. So this is all part of the doctrine of the Lord. That's why I've asked you sometimes. You know, I think I preached a message on this one time. Are you sure you want to be apostolic? Something like that. You know, we get into the gifts of the Spirit. You know, sitting here tonight, yeah, I want to be using the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just saying, we got to know what we're getting into. All right? Because this is spiritual warfare. Amen? If we ever need to be vigilant, I'm going to stop right there for tonight. I don't want to go too long. But if we ever need to be vigilant, folks, if we ever need to have our A game on. So we talked about the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. These things can help us, all right? God can help us from just figuring out a church situation. What are we going to do about this? God can give us word of wisdom. You know, if there's something that needs corrected in our lives, or maybe we need encouragement, God can give us word of knowledge. If there's something opposing the church, God can give us discerning of spirits. But when he does, we need to deal with it. Well, I'm telling you what, church, and I really felt this, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, and I'm probably saying something Pastor said 150 times so far, but I just want to get behind, and I want to reiterate it. We have got to have our A game on. Every time we gather together, folks, we got to give it all we've got. I'm telling you what, we have got to come with a renewed understanding. And I really feel the Holy Ghost wants us to hear this. Now, we got to come with a renewed understanding. This may be our last church service, folks. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I'm doing my best to say, Lord, I believe it. Help my unbelief. I want to believe the prophets. I'm doing my best to put myself in a position of blessing before God. I don't want to be like the man who said, you know what, tomorrow God's blessing is going to come. And he said, you know, you're going to be able to buy this for this and that for that. And the Bible says the man on whom the king leaned said, you know what, if God make windows of heaven, that's not going to happen. He said, everybody's going to see it but you, because you didn't believe. I don't want to be that guy. Amen. I want to enjoy the blessing of God. I want to put my faith in him. But I tell you, we've got to war a good warfare. We've got to, church. Let's stand in the house of the Lord tonight. We had a wonderful presence of God in worship tonight. But there's something in my spirit that just says we've got to be vigilant. We've got to be vigilant. When we come together, this is a time like none other. I don't know what God's going to do, but I'm telling you what. If you can't see there's a spiritual war going on in this country, come on. There really is. There really is. So I want to ask you to do one thing, too. When you pray, and maybe you're already doing this, I don't know. I haven't talked to you about it personally. But pray that the Lord would send warrior angels into this country, into our cities, into our governments, into our courts, and just God, here's the way I pray. God, if they're not going to repent, Lord, let's find someone who's going to do the job. You know, let righteousness reign. But when we come together, let's not waste an opportunity. Let's give it everything we have. And you know what? Your 100% tonight might not be my 100%, and vice versa. But I'm telling you what, let's give it everything we can. Everything we can. Let's worship the Lord. Father, thank you for your goodness, your mercy, God. We appreciate you tonight. Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives. Lord, bless this church. Help us, Lord Jesus, in this gifts of the Spirit. Help us to desire to be used by you. Give us understanding, Lord. God, I pray that you administer tonight, Lord Jesus. Open our understanding to your word, Lord. We appreciate you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wanted to thank God for the word. Amen. Great job. But I wanted to back up a little bit of what he was saying when he was talking about confusion happening during the church and all, you know, you trying to say this and you going over here. And I want in this church, whenever the man of God is speaking or giving the word, he's in charge. If somebody wants to operate in the gifts of the Spirit and he asks you to hold up, don't get offended at that. Follow the man of God, and the Holy Ghost will move, and when it's time, it will operate. I've seen it happen, and the power of God moves. So don't get offended if the man of God or the men in this church that I've asked to minister here come to you and say, not right now, you know, or just hold up. Do that in a few moments. I'll cue you in. Don't wear your feelings right here, okay? We got to be warriors. Like he said, this is a spiritual battle, and we're fighting spiritual things. And so just be obedient and follow the leading of the Holy Ghost, and God will move. It'll happen in the right time. It's just being sensitive, and I just wanted to make that clear that whoever's standing in this pulpit, this is an anointed place to stand. They're in charge, and let them lead us, and God will move, and God will be glorified. And I've seen that happen. You mentioned Brother Hurt. I seen one time he went to stop somebody from praying for somebody. I don't know what his reasoning was for, but that person got offended, and they're no longer here. But had they followed the man of God, the Lord might have moved in that service. I imagine he would have. But that's just being submitted to the authority that God has placed over us. And when we follow that authority, God moves, and the power of God changes lives. People are affected. So I just wanted to reiterate that and make that in this place. That's how we're going to do business. Nobody needs to get offended. We're all practicing this stuff. We're learning it. Nobody here is experts at the gifts of the Spirit, but we're here to exercise it, and it's going to be done in decency and order. We're going to see the power of God move. Praise God. Thank you for being here tonight. My wife has a little announcement for you.
We are going to have an impromptu dinner on Sunday after church. If you are able to participate with us with that, I will send out a message in the group text and tell you what's already going to be here. We have a few birthdays that are coming up next week, and so we want to celebrate for the birthdays. And there will be some other church members with us, brother and sister-in-law, and brothers-in-law and sisters-in-law. There's two of them. So anyways, I will be putting that out in the group text. If you are able to come, I understand if you're not, because this has been a very last-minute thing, but I want you all to participate if you are able to. Thank you.
Have a great evening.